Well, we've been talking about staying fit, and we're going to be talking about, you know, fitness is a big thing this time of year. And I went down and joined the community center the other day, and you open the newspaper, and there's always this exercise equipment and everything. And so it's always a good thing for the first of the year. But right now, with the challenging times that we have and everything, the uncertainty in the world and all that, I think it has even more meaning. And of course, since God's word doesn't change, in a way it's same old, same old. It's, you know, because God's solutions are always the same, and what he prescribes is always the same. But in spatial times, certain things become even more important. There are things that we do routinely that we ought to be doing all the time, but in certain spatial circumstances, it becomes even more important to do so. If you lived in a mobile home, for example, it might be a good idea to have it anchored and tied down. But if you heard that 120 mile an hour winds were coming, then it would become even more urgent to do it, right? And that's the way life is. So right now, the storms are moving in and the winds are blowing and all of that. And so for Christians, it's a good time for us to make sure that our anchor holds and grips a solid rock, and you know, that we're digging in. You know, whatever happens in the world, we're not really moved by those things. Jesus said, "See that you be not troubled, because these things are going to happen, and they have to happen before everything is fulfilled." So we know that some rough days may be ahead, but we also know that our Lord is faithful, and what he wants from us is faithfulness, to be faithful to him in these spatial times, and he's always going to look out for his own. We do have a responsive reading today, and I think it's here, yeah, right on the back of the note. So on the cream-colored piece of paper, shall we stand together in honor of God's word? And our title today is Give God What Is His. I'll read the light print, I'll ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that last verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today, and indeed we do thank you, Heavenly Father, for the material blessings that you have showered upon us. And you have blessed us physically, spiritually, and materially in every way. And we just thank you and we praise you today. We thank you for the privilege of being able to assign portions of what you have given us and what you have blessed us with for the furtherance of your work. For this is a great privilege, and we read in your word that as we do that, we are actually, as I hear Pastor Joyner used to say here, sending it ahead. And Lord, it is for the future. It is an investment. And we just thank you today, both for what you've provided and for the privilege you give us, again, to take part of that to bless other people, to help missionaries to be able to carry the word abroad, for the ministries right here, whether it be to our youth or our children or our seniors or whoever it may be, for those ministries to continue, to be able to do some works of benevolence in the community, and whatever other things, Lord, that you have charged us to do. We just thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory, and Lord, we just pray that in these times, regardless of what is happening around us, Lord, that we will not be swayed in any way or deferred from giving you what is yours and doing so joyfully, knowing that, again, we're investing it for all eternity. Bless your people as they give, and may they in turn, Lord, may they experience your blessing, and in turn, may others be blessed by it. These things we ask humbly in Christ's holy and precious name. In his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated, and if you are among those who like to keep the notes and fill in the blanks, now would be the time to go ahead and get that and get your pen or pencil ready. And this is just an overview that I'm doing today, and this is kind of a condensation of a 7-part series that I ran in the pastoral part of the newsletter June through December. And I don't know how many people read the newsletter, and I know even less how many people read the From the Pastor section. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But in any event, this is an important topic. This is, this is real. This, like they say, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is very, very practical stuff. You know, when somebody starts touching our pocketbook, you know, it starts getting kind of personal. I don't think Tony, though he's now with the Lord, would mind me saying this, but they say that I believe one of their sons used to be so preoccupied about the security of his money that even with the family, he would turn the other way when he was counting it. But when you start touching the pocketbook, you know, then we're getting close to home. Somebody said, show me your checkbook and I'll tell you what your priorities are. And, you know, that's probably very, very true. So, God has put us in a material realm, and He has also chosen to provide for His people and to bless us with material things. And the only thing that He asks in return is that we honor Him with it. And I'm not going to give you a whole history today. I've gotten into some of the history of it. Abraham was the first one to receive the promise by faith. He was the one to receive the messianic promises of salvation. And he is also the first one recorded to having given a tithe to the Lord. So I don't want to get into a whole bunch of debates. Today I just want to talk about unchanging principles. There are enough unchanging principles in God's Word on this subject that are timeless that we need not get into any other more narrow or focused things. So today is just kind of a reminder. And let's just talk first about some very, very broad and general principles. The first one is finances are an integral and vital part of our worship to the Lord. When we are lacking in this area, we are deficient in our worship to the Lord. Now, we can say, you know, we sing with a lot of enthusiasm and be at every church service and, you know, whatever, and profess loudly how much we love the Lord. But if we are holding back in our giving to the Lord, then we are taking what is His, we are dishonoring Him, and God will not bless those actions. And so it is a vital part of our worship. And again, we could get into a lot of the history of it. But in the Old Testament, God said to His people, I'm going to bless you in every way, but bring my tithe into the storehouse. Bring the first fruits in. If you have 10 acres of wheat, find the best of the 10 acres, harvest it first, then come to my house and present it to me. Offer it as an offering to me. Offer it as a token of my blessing upon you. Give me thanks for it and acknowledge me in it. And then go back and harvest your other 9 acres, and I will make sure that that is blessed and that it will go further than if you kept the 10 for yourself. Because you can always have it devoured by pests. You can always have all kinds of other unexpected things come up. I will stop the spoiler for you if you will honor me and do what is right. So it's a part of our worship. You know, we think worship sometimes is reading the Word or singing. Well, guess what? When we take of what God has given us and we bring it as an offering to Him and we consecrate it to Him, that is just as much worship as reading a Bible verse. That is just as much worship as saying a prayer. In some ways, in some cases, it's even a more solid type of worship because we really are, as we say, putting our money where our mouth is. And so if we're lacking in that area, then that doesn't mean we're not saved. It doesn't mean, but it just means that we're missing out on blessings. We are limiting God and how He can bless us in that area because we're being disobedient in that area. Do you reward your children in the areas where they're faithful and obedient, or do you choose to reward them in the areas where they're deficient? So It's no more than that. Number two, God's principles of finance are not inconsistent. God's principles of finance are not inconsistent. Now, I want to tell you what I mean by that. What I mean by that is that it is a total package. The total package is we are stewards of everything that God has given us, and so faithful stewardship involves the whole thing. It does not involve just the portion that I'm bringing to the Lord and giving Him. It does also involve the other 90%. If I faithfully bring my 10% to the Lord and consecrate it to Him, and then I ignore all the other laws of finance that He has given me in His Word, and I take the other 90% and I buy big screen TVs with it that I can't afford, and I run up $300 a month cell phone bills, and I eat out all the time, to the point that, you know, I'm spending way more than I would if I cooked at home, and now I'm having trouble meeting the light bill, God isn't going to bless me in the overall picture. He can't, because I've given Him His 10, but I've mismanaged the other 90% of what He gave me. So His rules of finance are not inconsistent. They are all, one is tied to the other and requires faithfulness at all the levels. So if I'm a good money manager and I'm wise with how I spend and all that, and I don't give the Lord His portion, then I'm being inconsistent. If I give the Lord His portion and I'm loose and I mismanage the other part, I'm also being inconsistent. It's because I'm violating His principles. His principles apply to it all. And what God simply says is He's going to meet all my need. But He wants me, number one, He wants me to administer wisely all that He's given me, and He wants me without fail to bring the portion that belongs to Him for His kingdom work. Number three, God's principles of finance do not change, and His laws of material stewardship work the same in any setting or time period. You can take God's simple rules of finance and you can practice them in the most high roller setting with stocks and bonds and everything else, in a modern society, or you can practice them out there in the jungle with some little simple tribe, and I'll tell you, the same principles will work wherever they are implemented. And that is the good news, and that means that even in tough economic times like we may be facing in the next 24 months, His principles of finance have not ceased to work, and they will work for those who practice them. Can I hear an amen?
Amen!
Thank you, Sheldon. Number four, during times of financial distress, following God's principles of finance becomes even more crucial. See, the temptation is, well, I don't have the spending power I had before, and this and that and the other. And so we begin to rationalize for cutting back on our giving. And it's already happening nationally all over the United States. Now, obviously, if I've taken a salary cut, since the part the Lord wants from me basically represents a percent, then sure, the amount would go down, but not the percentage. But in times like that, it's even more important, you know? Don't rock the boat. That's important anytime. But if your boat, for some reason, there's only that far, the water's up almost to the edge, then it's even more important not to rock the boat, not to do something silly. And so the most silly thing we can do is to say, well, I've got to cut my giving to the Lord because, you know, no, at least not the percentage. Faithfully be faithful Because my God says that He will supply your need. He doesn't say, you know, that everybody's going to be super rich and all of that, but God says He will supply your need. Furthermore, I should honor Him with what He has honored me with. How many believe that every single thing you have, the Lord at least indirectly gave it to you? Yeah, because He made everything. So hey, it becomes even more crucial, you know? You want to stay in the middle of the lane and everything all the time. But if you're on a real narrow mountain road and you're taking one of those curves where there's a great big drop-off, then it's even more important. So in spatial times like we're living in right now, for the believer, it becomes even more crucial to be faithful in our finances as God defines that, which means to manage well all of it and to faithfully give Him the part that belongs to Him. Now, there are scriptures. If you want to see all the scriptures typed out, I always have them at our webpage, sncc.org, and you can go on there and go to the sermon outlines, and then you'll find all of these scriptures typed out. But five principles that I have found, general principles in Scripture about giving. So let's just go back through those real quick. Principle one, honoring God with our substance brings His blessing. Honoring God with our substance brings His blessing. How many believe that's true? I mean, that's what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs isn't a book of the law. Proverbs is just a book of general principles. Honoring the Lord with our substance brings His blessing. That's just a law, you know. Hard work eventually will assure success, you know. Honesty is the best policy. And things like that, those are just rules that are in stone. Honoring God with our substance brings His blessing. So, if I know that honoring Him with my substance brings blessing, then I would be wanting to do it. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. So honoring the Lord with my substance or material things will bring His blessing. Again, if I'm also adhering to His other rules of stewardship. Principle two, increase comes through giving. Now, that doesn't sound like, you know, our math, but that's God's math. And increase actually comes through giving. Maybe the closest visual I can give you on it is like the flow. If you have a stagnant pool, nothing is coming in and nothing is going out. So it's not, you don't think it's losing anything. But over a time, it evaporates slowly, almost imperceptibly. And how many have seen where there's been a pool of water or there's been some stagnant water standing, and then after it evaporates, what's left behind? It's not real pretty to look at, right? But in order for the pool to receive fresh water, some of the water that's in it has to flow out first. And it's the water that flows out that then makes room for fresh water to come in. So it's up to you how you want the flow to be. You know, I've been setting some of our spigots on a drip at night, but I control it. And we kind of determine that. So increase comes through giving. Given, it will be given you. Who can tell me who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ said that. Give and it will be given you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So you get to decide. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, wrote the Apostle Paul. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I mean, if it's going to tear you up that bad, don't do it. You'll miss out on the blessing. But hey, if it upsets you that bad, don't do it. For God loves a what? Cheerful giver. He wants me to be cheerful. And if I really understand it, I will be cheerful. I'm like, goody, 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 goody. This is an opportunity the Lord has given me to bless somebody. God's going to take this that I just gave and some people are going to get saved in Indonesia. God's going to take this and He's going to use it and some more children are going to get saved in Awana this year. And not only that, but God is going to take this and He's going to write it down, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to get it back about tenfold, you know? So if we understand it, we will be cheerful. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So it's up to us. Increase comes through giving. Principle 3, when we rob God, we rob ourselves. And what does it mean to rob God? Well, God said in Malachi chapter 3 that robbing Him is keeping for ourselves and using for ourselves or for others what rightfully belongs to Him. And that starts with a minimum of 1 in 10. And since it is percentage-based, it's fair for everybody. If I only make a dime, He doesn't expect me to give a dollar. If I only make a dollar, He doesn't expect me to give a 10. But He does expect me to give a portion of what He has blessed me with. Principle 4. The impact of how we manage material things extends into other areas of life and into eternity. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal, and where stock market drops erode your earnings. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, what will be there? Your heart. Where your treasure is. The most important thing to you in your life, that's where your heart's going to be. So money's important. But if it's the most important thing to us, then our priorities are definitely way out of whack. And but he says, but store up treasures in heaven. How do you do that? He says, don't store them up on earth, but in heaven. Well, that's what Pastor Joyner was talking about, I'm sure, when he said, send it ahead. I talked about that here one time. I said, monopoly money, you know? If somebody made you a deal and they said, for every dollar of monopoly money that you have that you give to God's work, I'll give you a real, for every dollar you give in monopoly money to God's work, I'll give it back to you with interest in real money. And then I said, the money we use is the monopoly money. The U.S. dollar, that is the monopoly money. And when I take it and I invest it in God's work, then God converts it into real money. It's not the euro. I don't know for sure what they call it. But it's the heavenly currency. And He converts it into that and gives it back to me with interest. And it never, ever devalues. It never loses its value. Now, here are some sobering words from the Master. And He's talking about our giving. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Do you know why people get promoted within a company or an organization? Because they've given them a certain amount of responsibility and they've proven that they can manage it and that they can be faithful in that. If they just mess it all up and blow it, they don't get the promotion. They might get let go, but they don't get the promotion. Promotions come when faithfulness is proven, and that's even in the natural realm. So keep that in mind as we read this verse. Jesus said, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." What did he mean? He tells us what he meant. "And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? I read that one time and it was like being hit in the stomach. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, so the Lord is saying to you, it's all mine. If you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So that's what we mean when we say that the impact of how we manage material things extends into other areas of life and into eternity. There is definitely an overlap. And this is another reason why this area is so important and why obedience in this area is so important. Principle 5. And Jesus spent a lot of time on this. We will either master our money, or our money will master us. It is that simple. What do we mean by master it? We mean to control it according to the principles of God's Word, to use it wisely, spend it wisely, and to always give the Lord His part and honor Him. Now, I'm no finance advisor or expert or anything like that. But as your pastor, I think there are just three basic little things. Again, God's rules of finance never change. So again, these three are very simple. But one of the reasons our country is in the financial mess it's in right now is because we threw these rules out the window since the Second World War. And you reap what you sow. And so we are now, as Billy Graham used to say, we sowed to the wind and now we're reaping a whirlwind. And we can't fix it overnight. But one thing we can do, it's just like if your body has gotten into a certain condition, taking the first pill doesn't make you well right away, but you've got to start the treatment, okay? And if you start the treatment and you continue with it, you will get well. So right now is the time to do some real basic things. This is just your pastor saying, if somebody came to me right now and said, what should I do? Now, there are other helps out there that can help you with the details. But number one, spend and budget wisely. Three strategies for tough times. Spend and budget wisely, period. Too many households today don't even have a budget. You ask them what you, I don't know. Well, I got these bills, I pay them, you know. But nobody keeps track of how much is coming in. How many know the principle, though, that you can't have more going out than what's coming in? Now, there is a means by which we've been able to do that on a pretty big scale for the last few decades, and it's called plastic. It's called debt. But debt is red ink. And debt, you know, it's not a good Christian testimony for us to take on debt. Now, you know, a catastrophe, the unexpected can happen, and I realize that, and it does happen. But for every case where there was some kind of tragedy, where someone had to file bankruptcy or something like that, most of the time it isn't that. It's just that we overextend ourselves, and we buy stuff we can't afford because we want it, and we want it now. And I'm sure you younger folks know, and you probably think some of the older folks are really weird because They don't want to go in debt. They've got this fear of debt. Well, let me tell you something. To take on debt we can't pay back, that's irresponsible. That's irresponsible in the natural world even. And for a believer, it's an especially bad testimony. So spend and budget wisely. And, if you can't do it, then don't do it. Don't do it. That's the way we did it in the old days. And it was wonderful because back then you didn't have any choice because you couldn't charge it. See? So you had to stay within your budget. But spend and budget wisely. That doesn't mean never get something nice for yourself or whatever, but only if, you know, if the situation allows. Hey, I'm old enough, I can still remember some kids in the Florida Panhandle in Wewahitchka, Florida, where my dad pastored a church in the early 50s, that walked most of the way barefoot to church and then put their shoes on just a little bit before they got there, because they were trying to save those shoes. And that was very common in the old days. Very common. Because they didn't know when they would get their next pair, you know. Now, that might sound extreme. Hopefully, we're not to the point where we have to be that extreme. But let's use a little restraint. And let's budget and spend wisely. And it's called living within your means. Number two, get and remain debt-free. If you listen to any, even of the secular, well-known advisors right now, they're saying that's the first thing you need to do. Get out of debt. You say, well, I got so much of it. That's right. And it's going to take a while. It didn't happen overnight. But guess what? When you're trying to work your way out of debt, it's even harder than the other, because you've still, if you're putting extra toward that debt to pay it down, it means that you've got less left to live on, and it means that that whole time you're paying it down, you can't go out and charge anything new, because if you do, it increases it again. So it's kind of like going on a diet, you know, except in the financial way. And it's not the most pleasant thing in the world, but I'm telling you, in today's world and in today's situation, if you can be debt-free, other than, I realize, sometimes the mortgage or the car or something like that, but if you can get debt-free, do so. Do whatever you've got to do and get debt-free. And then once you are debt-free, remain debt-free. And then number three, give God what is His. In the midst of whatever is going on, make sure that the Lord is honored with the portion that belongs to Him, and that you're supporting the work of the Lord. The Lord is faithful, and for those of us who do a few things like that, then we can pray with a clear conscience, and God will definitely supply our needs. So how to stay fit? These are just one of the keys to staying fit is to be faithful in the area of our finances and give God what is His. That's a very important area for staying fit. And then last week we said stand for life. And I mean, it's just under attack right now in a big way in our society. Stand for life. And those are the kinds of things we're going to be talking about in these next few weeks. As a Christian in this climate, in this situation, what are some of the areas where, as God's people, we need to shore up and get fit? Now, can you get fit by just sitting around watching TV and munching on snack food? No. There's a little bit of a price to pay, right? There's a little bit of discipline involved. But the rewards are enormous. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank You today. And again, Lord, just thank You. Thank You for Your reminders to us. Thank You indeed, Lord, for all that You have invested with us. And we pray that when You look down on any one of us, You could say, now I can trust that person because I know that they're going to administer it wisely, and I know that they're going to take the part that belongs to My work and they're going to put it there. And Lord, that we would be those kinds of people. Just help us to be faithful. You've blessed us so much. We really have no complaints today. And for those who are experiencing some real difficulty, help them to display their faith by remaining faithful in this area during these hard times. And I just know that you will come to their rescue and you will intervene. And you have many ways of providing, as Barbara and I learned on the mission field, besides just a certain amount of money and a paycheck every week or every month. You have so many ways of providing. So help us to trust you in this area, to do the right thing, and then to see you work. Help us as a church to not slack up in our giving to you, but to continue giving to you because we know it's the right thing to do, because we know it's a heavenly investment, dear Lord, and because we know that your blessing is upon those who do the right thing in this area. Help us that at the same time as we do that, we become an example to other believers. Instead of a bad example, we become a good example, and we even become an example to the world. Thank you again, Lord, for blessing us in every area. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, if there's anything on your heart you'd like to share, I'm always down front. Feel free to come and share it during this closing hymn.